Good morning and welcome to The Daily with Syl Stein, now through Spotify for Podcasters. I am Syl Stein. I'm happy to be here with you guys. Good morning. Happy Saturday. I'm happy to be with you guys today. On today's show, I am going to continue on the book by Walter Mosley, This Year You Write Your Novel. I hope you'll check out my podcast, all past shows that were through Anchor, and now Anchor is Spotify for Podcasters. Because I remember they had merged, and now I guess it's through Spotify for Podcasters. I hope you'll check out the podcast. It is available through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, of course, Spotify for Podcasters, which is part of Spotify. There is other platforms that you can check out on the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. I hope to get to 100 subscribers so I can have more promotions for the show. And I can speak to you more about books and other stuff coming up. Now, as far as the newsletter, that'll be out in June. I am going to be speaking to Tara James and Samantha Socorso, and I will be taking care of the newsletter stuff at the end of this month so it can be out in June. I am going to try to do more shows. I know I always say that. In the summer, you'll definitely see more shows because I'll be off after the, I want to say after the 15th, after the 17th, because my son graduates and all this stuff going on. But I am going to try to do some shows in between, even if I do them on the weekend or earlier in the morning. But for today, we're going to focus on This Year You Write Your Novel. I hope you check out the book or shows I did on Judy Blume. I am going to go back and record another show about her because I feel like the first show, the sound wasn't that good. And I want you to get the overall sound and the overall learning about her books and everything and all her long trajectory towards children's books and her career and everything, especially after watching the documentary. I want to go more into detail about that. But for today, I'm going to discuss the book by Walter Mosley. And I will go back and read a little bit about Miss Walter Mosley here. Actually, more about Walter Mosley. And then I'll go into this book, which I used when I was at SMHU, when I obtained my master's in English and creative writing. So I was able to obtain that in 2015. It's hard to believe it's almost 8 years ago to the day that that happened. And it's been a blessing. I am still working on writing. I work at school, and I'm hoping to do more with it, but, you know, more with a degree and everything. But let me see here. Walter Mosley is one of America's greatest crime fiction writers. He is the author. Give me a moment. He's written so many books, and I'm going into them. Just give me a moment here. It's kind of. This computer kind of, you touch it and it kind of goes away. Hold on. And thank you for bearing with me. Okay, let me look up. Sorry, I'm on my computer. And good morning to you guys. We are live on this show, well, so far. Let's see. He is the author of more than 60 critically acclaimed books that cover a wide range of ideas. Goodness. I'm finding it hard to navigate this right now. And he's written a lot of crime detective stories, It says, but in the what I have here, it says, give me a moment. Let's see. Doesn't have much there. We'll be right back so I can get all of this together for you. We'll be right back to the Daily with Silstein. And we're trying to talk about Walter Mosley, but this book is not cooperating. Give me a moment, or actually maybe it'll pop up now. Give me a moment here. It just kind of moves around, and it kind of American novelist. Has written a series of best-selling historical mysteries featuring the hard-boiled detective Easy Rollins. And he has an official website. And one of his, Walter Mosley's infamous detective Easy Rollins is back. And it's called Blood Grove. An Easy Rollins mystery. And he's written so many books. But one of the books I read was the This Year You Write Your Novel. And it basically says it's to motivate you as a writer. No more excuses. You can write a novel now. Let the lawn get shaggy and the paint peel from the walls. The best-selling novelist Walter Mosley advises, in this invaluable book of tips, wisdom, and practical guidance, Mosley teaches you how to create a daily writing regimen that fits your lifestyle, develops a narrative voice that suits the tale, hooks readers with dynamic characters, and then get past those first challenging sentences and into the heart of a story and much more. And he offers both motivation and instruction, mostly provides the tools you need to turn out a first draft in just 3 months and then revise it into something finer. So don't put your idea on the back burner. Start writing today. So, and one of the reasons I made this podcast is because I wanted to do some writing tips. I wanted to create a space where for my love of books, me being an author myself, and also, you know, drink coffee while you enjoy talking about it. And then adding, you know, the elements of having a conversation about author stuff, things, you know, that can help, and having other conversations with other authors. So that was a big motivation there. So when I come back, we're going to start on the This Year You Write Your Novel, now that I've done my long intro. And then we're going to go back to learning how to write without restraint. And then talk a little bit more about this book and how you can get it. And then we'll move on to more stuff. So I'm happy to be with you this morning on the Daily with Silstein through Spotify for Podcasters. So we'll be right back. And thank you for your patience. Hello, and welcome back to the Daily with Silstein, now through Spotify for Podcasters. And I do remember speaking about learning how to write without restraint on Walter Mosley on the last episode. So I'm going to continue with, I think we left off with, a final note of, he wrote a little bit about a final note about process in the writing. He says, the process of writing a novel is like taking a journey by boat. You have to continually set yourself on course. If you get distracted or allow yourself to drift, you will never make it to the destination. It's not like highly defined train tracks or a highway. This is a path that you are creating, discovering. The journey is your narrative. keep to it, and there will be a tale told. So as long as you stay, you know, with the, like, with whatever the journey is that you're trying to do and see the course through, you know, you will be able to succeed and write your novel. Now we're going to start on the elements of fiction today. And this is taken off from the This Year You Write Your Novel by Walter Mosley. The next section says the narrative voice. The voice that tells the story is the first thing the reader encounters. It carries us from the first page to the last. We, the readers, must believe in this narrative voice, or at least we must feel strongly for that voice and have a definite and consistent opinion about it. The first words and all the rest you encounter throughout the novel give information, images, and emotions all at once, much the way it happens on the street corner with a guy telling tales. It says, "Man, come out of the burning building," Joe Filler said, his voice straining and hoarse, red as a lobster with smoke coming out of his clothes. That's an example that he says. This brief snippet of dialogue brings us immediately into an event that we know some things about while suspecting others. There was a building on fire, we are told. There's a man who was in the fire for some reason. Maybe he was a victim or a hero. It is even possible that he set the fire. We don't know. But Joe Feller's voice has authority, and we're ready to hear him out in order to find out more about this smoking red man. This is a narrative voice. Actually, it is more than one voice. There's the character, Joe Feller, speaking. But there's another voice, the narrator, telling us what the speaker said and explaining the speaker's emotional state by describing the strain in his voice. There are many kinds and styles of narrative voices, and it is imperative that you decide which one you will use to tell your tale. Although there might be thousands of subtle differences in the narrative of the novels you've read, there are only three types that you need to be aware of. Actually, there are four, but the last one is a voice you should never use, your own. Okay, so we'll find out a little bit about this. We go into first-person narrative. The first-person narrative, put simply, is when the I voice is telling the story. Here's an example. I met Josh Sanders on the first day of March, 1963. He was a shy man with big hands and an earthy smell about him. He reminded me of my grandfather, whom I hated more than Judas. Okay, so let's find out more. We know from the first word that we have an intimate relationship with the narrator of this tale. He or she has a name, an age, and a history that we will learn about as we read. This narrator is our conduit to the novel. She might be a college graduate or an illiterate. She may be enchanting, cantankerous, or even untrustworthy. Every bit of information we learn about this narrator helps us understand more of the story being told. This is the most familiar storytelling voice, the one which we will all naturally relate the stories of our days to those we know. In a first-person narrative, you are stuck with these one voice. Therefore, the character, or at least her point of view, must be engaging. Her story must evoke strong feelings in us. We are compelled to empathize with her experiences and care about the world she moves through. We have an emotional connection to this narrator, and because of this bond, we want to learn what happens in her story. That's what he says. Not that every iota of information in the novel must come directly from that voice. Your narrator, let's call her Sally, will meet people along the way, talk to them, overhear their conversations. She will read letters and newspaper articles. She will have dreams in which important events in her life may be revealed. You could even have Sally read parts of another novel or work of nonfiction that have a completely different narrative voice. There are dozens of ways to break up a narrative, even in the first person, but everything flows through the consciousness of this narrator, so you must be true to that voice. When I say that you must be true to this narrator's voice, I mean, among other things, that you can't change her personality to fit the story. She cannot read the minds of others, of other characters. She can only what she experienced or learned, and she is limited by her circumstances, her physical location at any given moment, her education, her situation in her life, her emotional state, etc. The first person narrator is the doorway through which all the information of the story will pass. Therefore, the sense the reader has of this character must never be challenged. You can never undercut her authority. You cannot, for instance, insert a phrase such as, "Sally never knew her mother because Nelda Smith had died in childbirth." Who said that? Not Sally, of course. The writer said it. The writer's voice has intruded into the story. This will destroy the reader's faith in the words he or she is reading. The novel careens out of orbit and the story is lost. If you need to convey specific information, Sally must either think it, say it, read it, remember it, or hear someone else talking about it. The first-person narrative is a powerful but also very difficult narrative form. It is powerful because you are intimate with the emotions and internal processes of the very real human being telling you the story. It is difficult because the rendering of that character has to be pitch perfect for the reader to believe in her. There is also the difficulty of making sure that the first-person narrator is interesting enough to want to listen to 400s of pages. So that was on the first-person narrative. We'll be back with This Year You Write Your Novel, and we'll be back with the third-person narrative. Thank you for joining me today on The Daily with Syl Stein, now through Spotify for Podcasters, which also presents The Coffee Chronicles, because it all begins with coffee. We'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying your Saturday. Welcome back to The Daily with Syl Stein, now through Spotify for Podcasters. And we've been discussing This Year You Write Your Novel by Walter Mosley. And right now we're talking about the elements of fiction, their narrative voice. We just did first-person narrative, and now we're going to discuss the third-person narrative. The third-person, and this is all taken from the book by best-selling author Walter Mosley. The third-person narrator is the voice in which we naturally tell stories about things that happen to people other than ourselves. This narrative voice is not a full person. Picture the third-person narrator as a small, emotionless, but intelligent creature sitting on the shoulder of the character who is experiencing the story. This creature perceives events from the perspective of this character, and every now and then has glimmers of what this character might be feeling or thinking. Fred Farley entered the room looking around for his mother. Instead, he saw Alice Norman standing near the buffet. She noticed him and smiled before he had the opportunity to plead. "Hello, Alice," Brent said, holding out his hand. Her fingers were cold, and so Brent noticed were her eyes. As with the first-person narrative, we are entering the story through the experiences of an individual. But in this case, we aren't so intimate with all the nuances of his character. Instead, we are viewing the world through the prism of the intelligent eye perched on Brent's shoulder, an intelligence without emotional response. It is important that the third-person narrator have a distance from the passions of the novel's character. You begin to give this narrative voice of personality, it can confuse the reader, giving them the feeling that they are being told how to feel about and see this world rather than spying on it from behind a one-way mirror. The cooler third person narrator allows us to see the world of this novel from a certain impartial remove. This gives a kind of balance to the fiction that permits a reader to more easily suspend their disbelief. This, I believe, is a steadier voice than the first person POV. You are given information by an even tempered voice, which is good. At the same time, in this voice, it can't be harder to bring out the emotional depth of your character than in the first person. You can give momentary glimpses into the mind of the shoulder you're on, but you cannot, as a rule, get deeply into their heart. One benefit of this form of narrative is that the dispassionate observer can at times leap from the shoulder of one character onto that of another. Let us suppose that the meeting between Brent and Alice did not go very well. At the end of that chapter or section, Brent is left wondering if she suspects him of mishandling her affairs. At the beginning of the next scene, we find our narrative eye on the shoulder of Alice. She walks down the street in the long, darkening shadows of buildings, her family once owned. She meets an old friend who tells her to watch out for Brent. He's not in any way a trustworthy man and would take the rest of her dwindling fortune if he could. Like, as we see in this example, it says, I just ran into him, Alice said. He seemed to want to go away from me as soon as possible. As a matter of fact, when I first saw him, he was looking my way, and I swear, I thought he was about to bolt through the door. Noreen Padham's eyes got tight, giving her a contemplative air, as if Alice had posed a riddle. Maybe, dark-eyed Noreen said, he was worried that you'd figure out one of his schemes against you and your family. Maybe he was afraid you'd make a scene. After this meeting, your narrator could jump to Noreen's shoulder, but I wouldn't suggest it. The third-person narrator should be picky about the experiences it uses to tell the story. This form of narration can utilize the POVs of one, two, three, or more characters. There has to be a reason for each narrative to exist. If your story is formed around a conflict, you should use a POV from each side of that discord. If the novel is about a corporate takeover, you might need 8 or 9 voices to cover all the subtle sides of the tale. One more thing you should know about this form. As I have said, the third-person narrator has some of the knowledge of the shoulders he's on. So when Alice sees Noreen, the narrative voice might be aware of the fondness Alice has for this young woman and might even possess some additional specific knowledge. So, and then it gives a sample. Alice ran into Noreen, turning the corner at 3rd and Barton Streets. A feeling of familiar warmth came over her when she saw her old friend. Alice observed that the dark-skinned young woman maintained only the broad facial features of her mother's Swedish stock. Everything else was inherited from her father, whom Alice had heard was a criminal lawyer from Bombay, who migrated to Michigan because his Scandinavian bride wanted him to meet her halfway. So that was all on the third-person narrative. We'll be right back with the omniscient narrator. Thank you for joining me here on The Daily with Syl Stein through Spotify for Podcasters. And we're back to The Daily with Syl Stein through Spotify for Podcasters. And we're discussing the book by a best-selling author, Walter Mosley. This year you write your novel, but we're discussing the elements of fiction and in his book. And now we're down to the omniscient narrator. The omniscient narrator is the most powerful and most difficult narrative form. The omniscient narrator knows all. He could tell you the story about Brett and Alice and Noreen, but if he wanted to, he could also tell you about what is going on at the moment in Cuba or relate the dialogue between fleas on a rat's back beneath the street where Noreen and Alice are talking. The omniscient narrator doesn't need any one person or some emotionless eye on the shoulder to tell the story. It is all seeing of God. It is the all-seeing eye of God, or so he says here. Brent Farley walked into the room looking for his mother, but instead he found Alice Norman standing near the buffet. Alice noted that Brent seemed uneasy. "It's almost as if he wants to get away from me," she thought. "She's looking at me," Brent reflected, thinking that the red color in her dress was meant for a younger woman. Lauren Smith Jones, the club maitre d', noticed the two and remembered them as children, running madly in mud spattered jeans down near the stream behind the club. "This voice is a potent one. Nothing that happens is beyond its reach. The omniscient narrator can cure cancer, explain what the meaning of life truly is, travel through space and time with impossible ease. The promise of such power is seductive, but it contains hidden dangers for the first-time novelist. The main problem is the reader. Can you convince him that you are all-knowing? Can your narrative maintain the tension between characters while at the same time speaking with such clarity and superior knowledge? The reader approaches the novel as a story that has to unfold in a certain unique fashion. She doesn't know where the tale is going. She doesn't know if Brent is really a bad man who is intent on beggaring Alice and her family. In the first-person narrative from Brent's POV, Brent would know his own intentions, but he wouldn't know the content of Alice's heart and certainly would not be privy to the conversation between Noreen and Alice. The third-person narrator has no deep knowledge of any of the characters, so we have to rely on dramatic interaction to unearth the truth. But the omniscient narrator knows all. If he doesn't tell us something, it is because he decides to withhold that information. If he does tell us, it is absolute truth with no gradations of gray. The omniscient narrative voice therefore runs the risk of killing the dramatic tension you're trying to create. This is not to say that one should never use this voice. Many, many novels, especially those written in the 19th century and earlier, use this voice magnificently. The proper omniscient narrator's voice can be used effectively with the understanding that even the voice of God can have slight variations and rules by which it decides to impart information. For instance, your omniscient narrator might be so high and mighty that she doesn't waste time wondering about the truth or complex motivations of the character she presents. Here's an example. Captain Jack Hatter was a seafaring man who got it in mind that he was in love with a princess. He gathered a company of rough and ready tars who were willing to follow the handsome young officer to the ends of the earth, as long as there was plunder now and then along the way. Princess Jasmine Alonza Trevor McFord was aware of Hatter's passion, but she never let on she would be a willing partner to his lust. When her girl servant talked about Hatter's promise to take her by force from her father's lands, Jasmine would smile mysteriously and change the subject to the weather. From this POV, the omniscient narrator could tell us many things about her character, but prefers not to. The storytelling is held a certain distance to keep the reader wondering on many levels. Will Jack take the princess? Will the princess welcome his advances? This is just one of many possible approaches an omniscient narrative might take. This boy spends most of his time disguised as a third-person narrator, but appears in its full force, often enough to let us know that there is more to it. Or the omniscient narrator may place limits upon itself by letting information come out only a certain time sequence or by individuals giving voices to their feelings. There are many ways to spin the omniscient narrator so that the unfolding of the novel is still a wonder to the reader. The problem is that this voice of God has to learn how to limit itself. Whereas the first and third person narrative voices have built-in limits. And then he goes into the final notes on narrative voice. And then the next thing we're going to go into for the next episode will be showing and telling. So I'll discuss the final notes on narrative voice, showing and telling. And let's see here. Sensations, emotion, the pedestrian in fiction, metaphor and simile. Try to go into those in the next episode. And final notes on showing and telling. So I'll go into all that. And this year you write your novel for the next episode of The Daily with Solstein through Spotify for Podcasters. We'll be right back for the wrap-up. Thank you for joining me this morning. Happy Saturday. And I hope you're enjoying your cup of coffee, because we also present the Coffee Chronicles, because it all begins with coffee. We'll be right back. And now we're back to the wrap-up of The Daily with Solstein, which is now through Spotify for Podcasters. I just want to say how happy I am to be back doing episodes of The Daily with Solstein, now through Spotify for Podcasters. I know there's been a kind of hiatus on my part. I'm hoping to do more shows, as I said, regularly. I will have a newsletter at the end of this month, which will go out on the first week of June. And thanks to the amazing Tara James and Samantha Socorso, who are the ones that share a lot about my author news, and they do a great job of sharing, and my author page is growing because of that as well. If you haven't checked out my author page, it's on Facebook. It's under Sylvia Stein, author Sylvia. It says author Sylvia Stein. And then I also have my Instagram, which is stein.sylvia, and also at The Daily with Solstein. That's my other Instagram account. And of course, I will have a newsletter soon. You can find all the episodes here on now through Spotify for Podcasters. I will also ask you to subscribe to my podcast. And I'm going to try to do more live videos, so you will follow along with the books that I'm also recommending you to read. That way you can, you know what books that I'm recommending, and also follow along with those. As I said, I am working on my new book, Battered Mind, and I'll talk more about that on my next episode. But reading or going back to Walter Mosley's book, This Year You Write Your Novel, is kind of giving me more motivation to finish up my book. Because I did get stuck on what type of narrative I was going to write. And when I sent in the first drafts of the novel to an editor, she was wonderful, by the way. She gave an extensive account of what I should work on. This kind of gives me a little bit more of an insight of what the voice I should be using for the book. So there's many elements, and it also helps not only you guys, for those that are starting to write, or maybe you're an author that's stuck on what kind of point of view or where should I go with my book or a person that's thinking of writing a book, I hope these episodes on the daily, these writing tips are helpful to you. I know I used a lot of the book by Amy Peters, The Writer's Devotional. I've used, I even talked about Stephen King on Writing, which is another phenomenal book if you're trying to write a book. And then Walter Mosley, I thought, you know, it helped me a lot when I was a student at SNHU going for my master's. This was one of the books we used in the class, and it was very helpful to continue on the kind of book I wanted to write, which ended up being Closure was one that I finished right after I started SNHU. And then at the end, I wrote The Diary of a Broken Father when I ended and turned that in. And I learned a lot about the process of writing and what it all entails. And I'm still learning every day. So you know, there's nothing you can't learn. A lot of times we feel like we've learned enough. I don't think so. I think we, in my opinion, you learn more from other authors or you gain more insight and knowledge from others that you read about. And for me, this book, This Year You Write Your Novel by Walter Mosley, was very phenomenal. So I hope that you will check it out. You can obtain this book on Amazon. I don't think it's that pricey. I will look it up. He's, like I said, but check out all the books by Walter Mosley. He's written a lot of them. He has a character that he's, you know, that he writes a lot of his books from the detective. And let me go into his books right now. I'm on the computer again, guys, and I'm doing the wrap-up of the show. Let's see here. The Easy Rawlings series. So make sure you check out his books by Walter Mosley. They're crime. Some have historical fiction in it, crime fiction, and they're very popular. Make sure to check out all the books by Walter Mosley. But the one I have, This Year You Write Your Novel. Let me see. Okay. It is... Well, it's $15.99. Yeah, $15.99 on Amazon. You might want to check different other places. The hardcover is $11.97. So you're probably, you know, it's easier to buy that. Or if you want to just download the Kindle or audiobook, a lot of you do better with that. Like, but I prefer a physical book. I've always liked the book to hold and be able to turn the pages on it and stuff like that. So I hope you check out the books by Walter Mosley, especially This Year You Write Your Novel. We're going to continue on the next episode with this novel, and I will discuss more of my writer's journey. And I'm hoping to have other authors and editors and, you know, others come and speak about their books and everything. And I hope you'll subscribe. We're now on Spotify for Podcasters. I hope you check out all the platforms that the episodes are available. And thank you again for supporting the podcast. And I hope you'll keep supporting and subscribe. And join me again for the next episode. Enjoy your coffee. Happy Saturday, and this was The Daily with Syl Stein. I am Syl Stein. Happy to be with you today, and I hope you have an awesome rest of your Saturday. And to all the mothers out there, those that are here, those that have left us, I hope everyone has a blessed Mother's Day weekend. Have a good one. I am Syl Stein for The Daily with Syl Stein. Have a great one.